Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Yes, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him may not die, but may have eternal life. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him avoids condemnation, but whoever does not believe is already condemned for not believing in the name of God's only Son." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Last year's prize-winning movie, Kramer versus Kramer, was certainly well-written, well-directed, well-acted, and it seemed to touch many people's lives as a plausible story of a three-cornered relationship of a mother, a father, and a son, and the impact that divorce made upon that relationship. Now, not all human relationships end up as unhappily as the Kramer marriage did. And not all mothers and fathers end up fighting for the custody of their child as they did. And most children are not caught in this kind of situation where a court must decide whether the mother or the father is going to have the custody. But wherever there is human love, there is always conflict. Wherever there is human love, there is always conflict. And in the mother, father, child triad, there is always joy and great pleasure and enormous conflict. It is this kind of sheer, raw, emotional power of human love that we must reflect upon today, Trinity Sunday. And even though it is June, we should be mature enough to recognize that June, as the month of romantic love, does not mean that the picture of love is really correctly depicted in such song words as moon, June, spoon, and croon, because those words are highly misleading. Love is not hearts and flowers. It is not the silly sweetness of Valentine's Day. It is not the simple and forever romance of a love song. Rather, in the Old Testament, the Canticle of Solomon is more correct. Love is as stern as death, as relentless as fire, as unstoppable as the raging waters of a flood. Love is a demonic, potentially destructive power that human beings use to tear apart their own lives and possibly destroy the lives of other people. Love is not sweet. It is not pretty. It is not nice, although it could take part in all three of those characteristics. Love, rather, is a devastating power that both attacks and repels, that unites and separates. And that is why at the very end of Kramer versus Kramer, the couple is still divorced. The man still has the custody of the little boy. And both mother and father have done enormous damage to each other and to the child. And yet what is so fascinating is that the mother and father still are capable of a powerful attraction for each other. And so one does wonder, at the very end of the movie, as the elevator door slams shut, whether that attraction is going to be resistible or whether they're going to come together again. But now we ask, if love is such a devastating, overwhelming, uncontrollable energy, then why in God's name do we attribute it to God? Why do we dare say that God is love? Why do we even begin to imagine that it would be a compliment to God to refer to God as love? Now the answer seems to be that love is the most powerful, the most pleasurable emotion that we know. To say that God is love is to say that God is enormous energy, unsurpassable pleasure, irresistible force, and unmatchable beauty. And in effect, what we are saying is that love is too big for us human beings to handle. And then we assert, perhaps bravely, that love is not too big for God to handle and to control. The enormous ambiguity and ambivalence demonstrated in Kramer versus Kramer results not from the fact that love is evil, but rather from our inability as human beings to control love, to control that enormous energy, that great power, that force, and that beauty that we call love. Now, the revelation about God that is contained in the doctrine of the Holy Trinity is that God is a loving community of three persons. And also that the three-way relationships in our families of mother, father, and children, that those relationships are simply a vague, imperfect hint of the communal relationships within God. That the energy, the force, the drive, and the beauty, as well as the passion and the power that exist in the human community, particularly in the community of the family, those same powers also exist, but in a much different and greater way, in the community of three persons that we call our God. Now, what does the Trinity then tell us in a practical way about the loves in our own lives? First of all, it tells us that we should never be overwhelmed as human beings by the raw power of the force of love whenever we experience it. Nor should we ever deny or repress the anger, which is always the reverse side of love. The reverse side of love is always anger. Anger is both a protection against the person we love and also a demand that that other person give up the protections that he or she has built against us. Anger is love demanding union, and it is also love fearing union. Anger can destroy a relationship, or almost destroy it, as it did in Kramer versus Kramer. But anger is also able to clear away the obstacles to growth in a relationship between two people. Whenever there is love, there is conflict and there is anger. And we must learn how to communicate sufficiently to get the anger taken care of. Now, if you remember the film, one of the great problems that led to the divorce was that the woman was not able to express her anger against her husband. And finally, when she tried to express her anger, her husband was not able to listen. He had no idea what she was talking about. Everything had just been so wonderful. The question is not whether we are angry at those people we love. Of course we are. Because love relationships are too important and too intense not to generate anger. Rather, the question always is whether we are able to learn the skills of turning this anger to constructive purposes. And that is why we are always so concerned in the church when two young people come to us asking to be married, that they learn at least the fundamental rules and means of learning how to communicate with each other as people. If you marry someone, for God's sakes, marry a friend. Because marriage is supposed to be a lifelong conversation, learning how to communicate your love as well as your angers toward each other. And the second lesson we learn from the Holy Trinity and the love relationship among those three persons is that it is always a model and a guarantee of the need for generosity among persons. The Father and the Son give themselves to each other totally. And that gift of love to each other becomes the Holy Spirit. Without generosity, there is no love. Without generosity between two people, there can be no love. Now, it's possible you might think of the Holy Trinity as another abstract doctrine of the Church, that the Father, Son, and Spirit dwell some far place away in the clouds and the sky. The reality is that the Father, Son, and Spirit dwell within each of you and within me. As we said last Sunday in Pentecost, the gift of the Easter mystery is that the risen Christ sends his Spirit to you. The Spirit cannot be within you nor within me unless the Father and the Son are there. The Spirit is the love bond between the Father and the Son. As Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and the Father will come to you, and we will make our abode within you." And when the Father and the Son come to you to dwell within your soul, within your spirit, they generate, they create the love between each other, which is the Holy Spirit. The Spirit cannot be within you unless the Father is within you and unless the Son is within you. All three persons of the Holy Trinity dwell within you. That is the gift of faith, and that is the source of life, whereby you are able to reflect that reality and all the love relationships that you have with the people that you love. And generosity must be the ongoing element to keep that love going. It means that you must never, ever give up trying to improve the situation.